Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to Take Your Bow, a new bite-sized podcast series from the Curtain Call stable that shines a spotlight on the people that make theater happen. In today's climate of increasing isolation, we want to bring you a daily dose of inspiration. In each episode, we're giving someone in the theater a chance to take their bow. From the seasoned professional to the drama student, vocal coaches to life coaches, you'll find them right here giving insights into what drives them to be in the business and who inspires them. Whilst on lockdown, I've been mentoring five students from Mount View Academy of Theater Arts here in London. The five of them are all getting their MA in acting and should be doing their showcase performances right about now, but I don't need to tell you what's going on there. My second student this week is Jessica Dawes. Now, Jessica's story is a fantastic, untraditional story. Gone the untraditional route into acting, having been interested in theater from a young age, but feeling societal's pressure to earn money in a real job, that's in quotes, quotation marks, not quotes, before the tug of the theater yanked her back in. Here's Jessica to tell her story. So, first question, easy one. What is your name? And what do you do in this business?
Hi, John. My name is Jessica Dawes, and I am a student at Mount View in London, and I'm just completing my acting master's. And actually, today was the last day of our assessed components. So
what? Basically,
today is kind of the day I've completed it. We've got a couple more weeks of lectures, but then on assessed. So technically, I've done the master's. Today.
are you gonna celebrate?
Yes, and my local, the Ten Bells pub, I'm based in sort of central East London, is open for takeaway beers from midday. So actually it's already been open for an hour, John. So I better, after this I'm gonna head off there and have myself a celebratory pint outside. Socially distanced, complying with the rules.
Love it, Jess. Love it. I already know this, like, because, you know, every one of the guys that I'm working with, I am going, you guys are going to be on this week on the podcast, and I know your backstories, but I'm asking you all the same. When did you know you wanted to be in this business?
I've probably always wanted to be in the business ever since a little kid and doing drama all through school and doing weekend classes, but wanting to be in the business and then actually making the step to be in the business, particularly for me, I think is an entirely different question, story. So I have been a lawyer for 10 years, effectively say, sod this, I want to pursue my dreams, which for whatever reason, money, practical concerns, I went off and got myself a sensible degree, did carry on doing a bit of drama at uni, but then, yeah, just kind of went down a kind of sensible path. I don't even know sort of the reasons now. It's all a bit of a haze and a blur. But yeah, last few years got into the amateur drama scene in London, which is brilliant. There's such amazing, there's professional people. There's just some wonderful, both musical theatre and straight drama. One society in particular, CDOS, I forget what it stands for now, but they're based in the city. So that was right near where I was working. They do incredible stuff, and they have lots of goodwill, lots of investment. So they wonderful rehearsal space right by Moorgate. I've been doing some musical theatre classes and some other bits and bobs, but I did a play there a few years ago, Our Country's Good, Timberlake Wurtenbaker. And that was the play that I had done when I was 17, 18 in A-level drama, for an exam or whatever, and I basically got the role in the CDOS production, the same one that I did when I was a kid, Liz Morden, and basically it was an amazing show, amazing cast members that I've maintained friendships with, and off the back of that, it was a bit as cheesy as it sounds, very much a wake-up call, and yeah, it took me an hour to kind of, I got out of my crazy law job, which where I was working all the time and didn't really have time to think about whether you were fulfilled or not. I was just, yeah, doing my thing. Left that, went to a smaller, more chilled law firm thinking, oh, this will give me time and headspace and maybe just doing the Amdram thing will be enough. And it was for a bit, but then, yeah, I just thought, screw it, I'm going to apply for a master's and see what happens. And yeah, when I got into Mount View, that was kind of another sort of kind of full circle moment. So in addition to the kind of Lismore and our country is good, getting into Mount View, it's a drama school that used to be based up in North London and now based in South London in Peckham. But they were based back in a few years ago, they were based up in Wood Green, which is near where I grew up. And I went to Saturday classes at Mount View when I was 14, 15 years old for quite a few years, musical theatre and straight drama. And so it was a kind of like, oh my gosh, it's a sign. So yeah, that's, and I just thought, oh, I'm definitely not getting any younger. And I just thought, this is, yeah, I'm just going to do it. And that was, yeah, about this time last year, I found out I got in the Monday after on my way back from Glastonbury Festival.
So, brilliant. Yeah. So feeling a bit tired, really. a bit kind of weary.
Yeah. My decision making wasn't going on the Monday. I let it sink in for a bit, and then I was on holiday.
Because you're basically like, I'm done with this law stuff. I'm done being a lawyer and acting in a courtroom. Yeah. I want to be on a bigger stage.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a sort of like, I think for kind of US audiences, I'm a sort of in the UK, probably the equivalent sort of not quite a trial attorney, because they're like the barristers in the UK. Yeah. I am a solicitor, but there's definitely a bit of a bit of advocacy that goes on. So I do kind of get up and talk a bit in courts and stuff. But it wasn't enough. It really wasn't enough.
So it sounds like you had some real inspiration growing up, and so I would like, I ask everybody, who inspired you then to get into theater, and who is it that inspires you now?
So to get into theater, no one in my family are into, so I come from, my dad was in sales, and my mum and grandma and aunt were nurses, so it was just, I just loved doing in school, and a few of my friends, we did it, and we didn't have there weren't massive school productions or anything. We just did kind of GCSE and A level, and then we went down to some Saturday classes, North London Performing Arts Centre. I think they're probably still going.
Yeah.
A few Saturday classes there, and again with Mount View, but that was all we really did. So I didn't do National Youth Theatre. I wasn't really aware of it, which feels a bit silly now, particularly because I was in London, but I just loved it. So, and then I watched a lot of, I read quite a bit, but I was a bit of a TV film nut growing up as a kid. So I just love watching performances and going to the cinema. It's still my thing to just watch. I know I should watch a lot of kind of interesting, super important films, but often when I just need a kind of escape, I stick on my fantasy films and the good hearted stuff, because that's just what it is, kind of to get lost in stories. So yeah, growing up, I don't know, it must have just been what I absorbed just generally. And now, I don't know, I was thinking about this. I'm always drawn, I think I'm in my head, I'm like already 60 years old. I'm not, I'm only in my 30s. But in my head, I'm always drawn to the great dames, British dames, of course.
Yeah.
Judi Dench and, mm-hmm. and Maggie Smith, who I saw at the Bridge Theatre doing her, the one woman show, A German Life. And that was just, she came out on stage, even before the lights went off, I was just in the third row sobbing my eyes out because it was Maggie Smith. So just watching them on screen and stage. But others, I massively fangirling over, as the entire world is over Olivia Colman. She's just starting out in comedy with Peep Show and then moving into crime dramas, Night Manager, Broadchurch, and now she's doing everything, and she's wonderful. I'm massively fangirling over Ruth Wilson at the moment, having binge watched The Affair and nearly finishing Luther. So just those wonderful kind of actresses that are just playing these, or who have so much range. But yeah. I love, you know, the ones that play these strong, fierce women.
Yeah. Excellent. What do your, you just talked about family, and then no one in your family really is theater focused, in nurses and things like that, which seems like a more traditional route into employment, as is law. But what do your family think of your choice and what you are doing now?
I do my own thing. They're pretty chilled out. So it's my mom, and I've got an older sister and a younger sister. And yeah, we all do our own things. I'm not a kid anymore. I've been doing my own thing for a decade now. So I think my mum is just happy for me to be happy. That's it, great. Really. I'm not, I mean, we're close, but not, yeah, I often, do my own thing a bit.
That's good. Listen, it's so funny to hear the range of answers on this, because some people are like, oh, they're so proud, my mom comes to see it. And there's somebody like, they don't understand it at all. You know, and it's the whole range of answers in that kind of, as it should be. We're all different, you know, we have different, of course, different families and different life choices and everything else that kind of inform who we are and get us out of the house. Anyway, you are definitely multi-skilled. There are a lot of things that you say you've done. You've also been working on yourself from a teenage years, you know, perspective. So having been going to drama classes on weekends as a teenager, you know, going into law, you've attained many, many skills over your years. And how important do you think that is as an actor to have those skills in your in your bag?
Yeah, super important. I definitely don't think actors need to have 10 years of law behind them by any stretch. It probably is not the way to go, because I wasn't as rigid as I thought I might be getting into a movement class and having to roll around when I've spent 10 years at a desk. But I think definitely I was a little bit stiff to begin with. But I think it's super important, like, just from a kind of having worked in any environment, but particularly kind of high pressured, kind of like a kind of international law firm where I was, to learn now is how so I just joined a Q&A with Lucian Massimatti, and who was it? He had a quote where an actor told him it was the show business, and there's a massive business side of this industry, which you can work on your craft and everything, but the business side, and actually, and just meeting people, getting emails out, following what's going on, keeping on top of like your spotlight profile, those things, which requires just kind of like organizational skills, communication. And then even when you get into like the rehearsal room, just stuff like timekeeping, teamworking, again, kind of communication. And like, that's even before you get up and do any acting, like just to know how to sort of be a kind of down to earth functioning person that can work with others, that's used to working with lots of different people. I think acting is the craft, and the talent is super important, but, and this is what I'll tell myself as the reasons why it was all for a reason and I've been on this path and acquired all these transferable skills, but I think there is a lot of merit in, yeah, you can act, but you've also got to do the business side of it and be someone that's really nice to be have in the room. And that, you know, if your agent or whoever, I'm guessing I'm not here yet, but you know, if a casting director or whoever calls you up for an audition, you answer that email promptly. Don't wait hours. And that's like, that was always a thing when I was a lawyer, like, you know, just be a kind of effective communicator. And I think that's probably go quite a long way.
Yeah, you've got to use your common sense when it comes to communication in this industry. If it's a casting director who you got to, if she's asking availability or things, you know, you got to get back to them because they're trying to fill slots. Their days are so rammed. You know, if it's something, if it's a general request that can happen, that can wait till the end of the day, then let it wait till the end of the day. There is a real way to play this game of show business. And Lucien's, you know, he is, you know, legendary. He gets it. And he's worked his ass off to get it as well. So listen to him. Yeah, I think, you know, the five of us, or the six of us, your four compatriots and I, we'll go through a lot of this stuff. I can't wait to kind of go through that stuff with you guys. But I have learned through failing and learned how not to do it so many times and so quickly and over time as well. So it's horrible to kind of not get it slowly. It's better to not get it quickly. For sure. I'm going to move on to asking you the next question I ask everybody. And I kind of know this, but, and depending on where you sit in the week, people will have heard how your compatriots and colleagues at Mount View, the MA acting strand will get, how are you spending your days?
So now we've just, as I mentioned, we've just finished our last assessed component with Mount View. So that was the showreel element, which sadly, because of the situation, has had to be effectively a self-taped duologue. So we've just finished that. So that was a sort of 2-week module. But so in amongst that, we've been doing all the Mount View kind of there's been lots of work for the Mount View side of things. We've had creative projects, we've had showcase thing that went out, and now show reel and talks and stuff. But what I've been trying to do, and this is why I'm always trying to look for the silver lining of things, I've just been trying to use this time to try and absorb as much as I can about the industry, like joining Q&As on Instagram and Spotlight and listening to casting directors, agents, actors, playwrights, and so absorbing information, but also kind of researching about the industry. I'm just trying to be a bit more armed with information and inspiration for when the time comes, hopefully when auditions and castings start up again. Because I think had we been back at Mount View, while I obviously wish we had been, and I can't wait to get back in a room with people, there would have been other stuff going on. And actually to have this time, and particularly when a lot of the people in the industry are wonderfully putting out so much content that is free and accessible for us to absorb, to try and absorb as much of that as I can from a kind of, industry knowledge perspective. And a kind of skill, I've been meaning to like do lots of my skills development. Like today, this afternoon, I'm gonna work on my Irish accent because it's crap at the moment. And I've got red hair, so I'm like, oh, it's an obvious casting thing. So I've got to nail my Irish and Scottish accent. So there's kind of that stuff. All the kind of, right, I want to add that skill to my profile.
Yeah.
But little by little, I think, I'm just trying to keep happy and sane and healthy. Casting director said yesterday that you do your best work when you're happiest in yourself. Everyone should just give themselves a break at this time, and yes, you can work on your self-taking skills, do all this, but actually if you can just get yourself to a happy, healthy place, then when the industry starts up again, which it will, you'll then be in a much better position than had you grilled yourself trying to work on thousands of skills, your technical skills and ability, and actually you could be stressed and not be in a good place mentally in your mind and heart. So I think it's a balance. Which I've been trying to keep, but it's up and down.
It's up and down.
Hour to hour.
You know, I've had a horrible, last week was a horrible week, Jess. I'm not going to lie. Like on my podcast, I don't care. Like you can judge me for being, completely honest, but I was absolutely horribly low last week. You know, I have suffered depression in the past, and medicated, which I'm not on now, but, I can get there. And last week was a horrible week, but being able to see it, acknowledge it, accept it, and kind of go, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. Just get through it. But it was a proper, started on Sunday and ended on Saturday funk, which I haven't had for a long time. And it was scary. But whoever the casting director was that you were listening to was absolutely right. And, you know, if you're not mentally fit to go back to work, it's going to be very difficult to step on a set or a stage. More likely it will be a set to begin with. In the right frame of mind to get out of the way of yourself, to trust your fellow actors, and to accept the hard work and the emotional stress and anxiety that opening yourself up to criticism and subjectivity, you know, when it comes to being directing notes, you've got to be mentally prepared for that.
For sure.
Okay. You do musicals then? You've said that you like a bit of musical. I'm getting that. Okay, listen, these questions, Jess, are asked to everybody that are on the Take Your Bow podcast. So this is the last one before we get into our quickfire questions. Now, if you had only one cast album that you could self isolate with, that's it, one. What would that cast album be?
Hadestown.
You're not the only person that has said Hadestown. I loved Hadestown.
Brilliant. And I loved it. So I went and saw it twice in the space of like a week. Yeah. So in the interval of the first act, because I knew it was the final week, and I think I'd had a few glasses of wine, but I was like, I need to see this again immediately. And I'm not going to get to New York, and I don't know if I'll ever come back. And so I then was having another glass of wine during the interval, being like, I've got to buy tickets again for next week. And and they were obscenely expensive, and I put it on my credit card or whatever, and I was just like, oh, I've got to buy them, which is ridiculous, but it was that good. It was just wonderful. And it's just fun.
It's a great music. It's great music. It's insane.
Yeah, and it's like a piece of art. But that's quite, I was trying to think of,
you only get like one.
Great.
You only get one.
Do I only get one? Okay.
Not going to let you have another one. Okay, so we're going to end this podcast with some quick fire questions. And there are no wrong answers. It's just an either this or that. So no one's going to judge you. Well, I'm not for answering the way that you do. But let's just let's see how we get on, shall we? There's 10 quick questions. Should take no more than a minute. Shall we do it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Movies or theater?
To watch movies, for sure. To act theater.
Okay. Twitter or Instagram?
Because I'm not acting in movies yet.
Twitter or Instagram?
Might be differently. I can't work either. I'm terrible at both. But probably Instagram.
Okay.
Because I like pretty pictures.
Tom Stoppard or William Shakespeare?
Shakespeare.
Broadway or West End?
West End, because I've never been to Broadway.
We'll get there when it reopens. Clotted cream or jam first?
Cream, of course.
I am a cream first. So many jam first people out there. I'm a cream first.
Really weird.
Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Probably Prime, because it's got a movie selection.
Okay.
Like better new releases.
Cinderella or Snow White?
God, neither. Cinderella.
Okay.
I don't know why.
It's fine. It's like, what do they call the tests when you get the ink tests, the Roche something. Anyway, where do we get to? Wicked or Les Mis?
Les Mis?
Okay. Yeah. Dogs or cats?
Dogs, but I do have a cat. So sorry, Stella, who's sleeping in the background over there.
Oh, I have a dog, Hero, and she's not well today. She's ill.
Oh, sorry, Hero.
Yeah, Hero. And last one, Stephen Sondheim or Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Sondheim, sorry. But I love them both.
I love them both. I don't think Lin-Manuel Miranda would be upset with you saying
Sondheim. He needs a few more years to build up his, you know.
Yeah. His unimpressive catalog.
I'm just dying out the few.
So... are you on Instagram or any socials whatsoever? Do you do the Facebook? How do people find you?
So I'm Jessica Dawes on Twitter. I believe that is my name. I think it is just Jessica Dawes Act on Twitter as a newbie. I believe my Instagram handle at the moment is, there's a story behind it, but it's scurvy_fox. And I'll, John, I'll have to tell you why it's scurvy fox another time, because it involves a singing drunken monologue that I don't remember leaving voice noted on my friend's phone. It involved pirates. It was an entire sketch.
Oh my God. Fantastic.
I sung a song as a character I started to become, and she's now known as the scurvy fox, and sometimes she comes out at night. And sometimes I don't remember what she did the night before.
Well, you know, they say you gotta write your own work sometimes. I'd like to see the scurvy fox on stage, Jess.
I mean, it is frightening. I mean, I will send it to you, but you have to promise you only listen to it after
I will delete
maybe
it.
A couple of whiskeys to be and like put on Pirates of the Caribbean music in the background.
Absolutely.
There were reasons. Okay. There were reasons.
I am intrigued. Listen, Jess, thank you so much for coming on today, for being honest, for saying, like, your story is fantastic, and looking forward to, as I'm telling everybody, I cannot wait to get together in London over a coffee and just really shoot the shit and have a good time and meet in person, because it's really weird kind of having met you online, having kind of spoken online, networking online, doing this. We've got some classes to do. Like, I've never done this before in my life, where I have built a relationship up having never met somebody.
We could be real friends in real life.
We could be real friends in real life.
And, you know. Awesome. Hold me. Hold me, Don.
Have a great, great day.
John, thanks for having me.
Jessica Dawes, acting student on the Acting MA course at Mount View Academy of Theater Arts. Keep listening this week to hear some more students from Mount View that are continuing their course virtually, online, in London, and far, far beyond. If you'd like to take your bow, get in touch with us on any of our social media platforms at Curtain Call, or email me at john@curtaincallonline.com. We all need a little bit of inspiration and happiness these days, and hopefully today's chat gave you just that. Join us tomorrow when another student at Mount View will be taking us through their story and also taking their bow. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Suffs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.